Hey, church, thank you so very much for being here with us today. One church hearing the same message in four locations. Here I am at our North Braddock campus right now. It's Vision Sunday, so you know what that means. Vision Sunday is all about getting your vision tested. I don't know if you've ever gotten your vision tested, but we have to look at that chart, and then it goes through a series of better, worse. Better, worse. How many of y'all get irritated with the better, worse deal? But the reason we do that is because we all need our vision checked. I mean, at least once a year. And this is our chance to take a look at our vision. Recently, playing tennis, I had this situation happen. I was playing at the net. I was playing with people much faster and much younger than I am. And what happened was they hit the ball pretty fast at me, and I took a shot right in the face, and it hit my glasses. So immediately, everybody ran over to me. They said, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And of course, you know what I said. Yes, I'm just fine. Even though I couldn't really see out of my right eye, and my glasses were all crooked and all messed up. And I said, are you okay? Do you need to sit down? I says, no, I don't. I just kept right on going. But what I needed to do was my eye needed to readjust, and my glasses were off. They were crooked, and so they just didn't see quite right. But once I got my glasses lined up properly and I got my vision back, I was okay. This is what happens with all of us. We all take shots to the face at times. And life has this. We all take a shot, it hits us, and if we're not careful, it knocks our vision off. But we have to go back and make sure that our vision is correct, and that's what today is all about. Hey, if you're a member here, or if a guest, if we have you on our mailing, you should have received our annual report in the mail. If you didn't receive this, anybody can get this today at your location in your campus, because listen, we want to brag about how great God is. This is all about the greatness of God, about His faithfulness. We have nothing to hide. We have an open book test. And so I want to take some time to review, are we accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish for His church? That's right. Are we accomplishing what Jesus wants us to do? Because we're not going to be evaluated on what we say we want to do. We're evaluated on what we actually do. Nobody goes to Chick-fil-A and complains about their cheeseburgers. Why? Because they don't serve that. They do chicken. That's why we go there. Okay? Consistent and great. That's why we go there. And so that's what we're going to take a look at. Why do we exist as a church? We exist so that as many people as possible, that's right, as many people as possible will begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So if that's why we say we exist, we should have a way to evaluate that. How do we accomplish that? We accomplish that here at Bridge City Church in a simple way. We accomplish that by we gather, that's right, gather to grow. Every gathering we have is a growth opportunity. We give of ourselves and we go into our world with Spirit-led lives. That's right, for the glory of God. And so that's why we do this. So we evaluate these things. We want to evaluate these numbers, and that's what this annual report is all about. I'm not going to read you the report today, but there's some key things that have happened over this past year that are really, really super cool. And I think that we should celebrate and celebrate together here. First of all, our regular tithes and offerings from all, this is a cumulative from all of our locations here, we are up 12.7% from 2022 to 2023. That is worth celebrating. Come on, that really, really is. Now, that is a sign of this. Now, this is what this is a sign of. It's a sign that more people are becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. Because as I learned to follow Him, I learned to give of myself. And the more that the generous God in heaven becomes a generous God inside of me, the more we become generous, sacrificial, and faithful, and consistent on a regular basis. So most of all, on behalf of all of our pastors and all of our elders, elders and all of our leaders, I just want to say thank you. It's because of you that the ministry that Jesus began 2,000 years ago continues at Bridge City Church. Way to go here. Let's look at another couple other things. How about salvations? In our terminology, we say crossing the bridge from death to life here. That's right, beginning a relationship. Listen, 2022, we had 73 people respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2023, catch this, 142. That's a huge, huge, big difference. That means that the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven is getting bigger and there's more names being written in there. That is huge. And baptisms went from 36 in 2022 up to 66 in 2023. Awesome, way to go. More people identifying as followers of Jesus. On behalf of all of our pastors, and you're going to be hearing from them in just a little bit here, we want to see these numbers grow because people are important. Our church is not based on a bunch of superstars on the platform, but it's based on a supernatural ministry that happens through each and every person in our church. We're going to be judged according to the way that people use their gifts, people use what God has given them, they're trained up, equipped, and released to be who they are in Christ. That's what matters. And a lot of people say, well, numbers, they don't really matter. You're just getting too focused on the numbers. Well, let me just tell you this. Natalie and I, we have 5 kids, and our family's actually growing. When I took those 5 kids out when they were younger, and when I came home, Natalie wanted to know, did I bring home the same 5 home that I took with me? Numbers do matter. It's just a matter of the relationship we have to the numbers. Numbers represent things, and we shouldn't be afraid to evaluate things in the body of Christ here. Well, let's look at one that maybe hasn't increased as it should. The number of groups that we have. And I'm going to be covering this in just a little bit, but we want to see more groups, more connection groups, so that more people can get cared for. But let's look at another number that continues to increase. The amount of money that we give away. That's right. The amount of money in missions that we give away is very significant. And we continue to give away over 10% of what is coming in. That's right. In this past year, in 2023, we have given away over $240,000 to missions all over the world. Come on, let's give God a great big hand with that. That is huge. That is awesome. Way to go. That's right. We're affecting ministries in Pittsburgh. We're affecting ministries in our country, but also all over the world. Schools are being started, training schools that are sustainable and reproducible. That's right. We're also helping with education in many different countries as well, helping kids get an education. Okay, one more here. Our One Vision campaign. We're actually entering our last year of this campaign. It's really, really huge. And what we have is people have been committed to giving over and above their regular tithes and offerings. They're giving to the One Vision campaign, which is predominantly for facilities, improving facilities, and also building in land acquisitions as we need them in some of our campuses. We are presently at the end of the year here, the report is 55% of our goal has been reached. Well, we're a little behind in that percentage, but I believe that together we can take big strides and we're going to make up some lost ground. Why? Because at our White Oak campus, we're at the point right now because they're growing so much that we need a building or a land acquisition right now. And so we're preparing for that as well as at our North Braddock campus, that they're doing something very significant and we're planning out and processing how to create better and more efficient kids ministry space. These are some of the things that we're doing. So I want to thank you for those who have given, but also say that we're going to continue to move forward in these areas with the One Vision campaign. That's what we're doing here. And I'm just celebrating everything that God has done and what God continues to do with the vision that He has given us. One more thing I just want to say about something that's coming up this next year in our vision. I want to use it in this portion here. On August 4th of this year, what we're going to be doing is this. We're going to be having a unified church worship time on Sunday morning at Highmark Stadium down on the south side. This is going to be more than only Bridge City Church. We presently have 12 churches committed to this, and I'm believing there's going to be a few more. That's right. We're going to fill that stadium with kids and students and people just like you and me, and we're going to worship God together. And all of these churches are going to do something significant. That's right. Get together on a Sunday morning, not only like a Sunday night or a different time, which is all great. And I'm all for it, but what would happen and what could God do if we unite our hearts, not only with other churches in Pittsburgh, but we continue to unite our hearts and continue to unite our resources and all we have for Him in this next year? Hey, at this time, what we're going to take a look, we have the opportunity to hear from members and from people who regularly attend our church and what they experienced in 2023. Let's take a look.
April 13th, 2023, I got shot, and I was in real bad shape, and Pastor Nick came and visited me. He brought me a new Bible, and in the Bible it had these index cards, and they were all notes from all the guys in Connection Group that really made me feel like I belonged, you know, to the church.
Last year, I lost my husband that I love. It is not an easy road for me. My heart broke into pieces. There is no words can describe how I felt. Connection Group helped me to go through my trials and build my faith deeper, closer to Jesus.
In the past year, I walked into some of the toughest seasons, the most uncertain seasons and storms of my life, and just being surrounded by the other women in Bridge City just reminded me of God's love and comfort and being able to feel that through their presence.
I went out to California, Southern California, for a job. I started feeling weird, like pains and aches. I called my wife and was telling her, and she was telling me that I was basically describing a heart attack. The thing that really struck me was the amount of people, first of all, that changed their whole world around for me, that were able to watch our family, our sons and daughter, that were taking care of things for us while I was gone, while my wife was out there with me. The incredible amount of people that said they were praying for me.
I was in a place of really deep isolation, looking back on it now and understanding that it was rooted in rejection, worthlessness, and even fear. I started attending Sunday services less and less, and that was my goal.
We were struggling emotionally and spiritually, so my wife and I attended a worship prophetic night. We went up and got prayer from two people from our own Brighton Heights campus. God gave us the word that we needed to hear, and He met us. We decided it was time to start saying yes. Yes to everything. Yes to connection groups, yes to worship nights, yes to serving, and yes to getting involved. This has radically changed our lives. Our marriage is stronger, our family seeks after God together, and we overall just have a spiritual guidance that has really helped us.
I attended my first Victory and Freedom. I was looking for more fellowship, and that's one thing I found was fellowship with other men in the church. And it allowed me to address things that were separating me from God and separating me from my goals in my journey in faith.
Before I even joined the church, I was part of a connection group that I was invited to. As an introvert, sometimes it's hard for me to get started and to participate. But when I joined a group, I felt really safe. I felt like I could be myself, I could let my guard down and share things that I might not normally share.
A lot has transformed in my life. We met with Pastor Gary prior to us getting married quite a few times, and he encouraged us that we should make a covenant with each other. Hodge and I took a vow with each other and we got married.
I went on the Pittsburgh mission trip in 2023. During the trip, I not only grew my relationship with people, but I also grew my relationship with God. One of my favorite parts was when I would pray for somebody and I'd close my eyes, and right when I'd look up, I'd see them crying and smiling at the same time. And it made me so happy to know that God touched them and that God was with me all along.
I have grown in my faith so much since attending here. I have become stronger in my spiritual giftings, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunities that this church gives to become equipped and to grow in my walk with Jesus.
So in the past year, I went from sliding into the back, sitting by myself, to really just joining the body and joining leadership opportunities. I've been told plenty of times how important it is to just show up and let God take care of the rest. And for as many times as I've put that to the test, He's never failed.
One of the first things that I did when I got back was to go to the outdoor experience at the amphitheater in Monroeville. And, you know, just the amount of people that I hadn't seen for so long coming up to me and hugging me and telling me that they were praying for me. And, you know, it was overwhelming.
I decided to get baptized because I always knew Jesus as my Savior, but I never made the commitment of making Him Lord in my life.
Bridge City Church really encouraged us to take our next steps in our faith by us getting baptized together at the outdoor worship experience.
I decided to get baptized at the New Year's Eve worship experience because of the transformation that God has had in my life, as well as the people He's put around me. From the support that I receive, the love that I receive, to just the guidance and the knowledge, I can't thank Him enough for everything that He's done so far in my life.
I got baptized on New Year's Eve, and when I came out of the water, literally felt like a brand new person.
God provided me the help that I need, and I found that here in our church, Bridge City Church.
Let's give God a great big hand for all that He did in people's lives in 2023. Way to go, church, and way to go, leaders. So, so excited. Well, hey, in this time, I get a chance to help us get focused forward and what does God want to do in 2024 and beyond here. So I'm going to launch out of Matthew chapter 9, 35. Here we go. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And He healed every kind of disease and illness. So here we have Jesus going through each and every town, towns like Brighton Heights, North Braddock, Murraysville, White Oak, and every community around. He's going through the towns, He's going through the villages, and He's healing people. So at first glance, it looks like things are pretty good. What does Jesus possibly need at this point? People are getting healed. They're hearing the good news. He's teaching, and what a teacher He is. It looks like everything is okay here. But something began to happen here in the midst of the three things that Jesus was doing. Let's look at these three things. He was teaching in the synagogue. Yeah, He was preaching the good news, which predominantly outside of the synagogue, announcing the kingdom of God. So there was in our case, maybe a church teaching, getting better there, training, but there was a preaching of the kingdom of God there, but also healing people as well. Healing, restoring people. And we're going to get into that definition of just a little bit here. But something happened in verse 36, when He saw the crowds. Yeah, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. like sheep without a shepherd. That's what they were. And if there was ever a time in our world, never a time in our lives, where this is a real definition of where people are right now. They're confused and they're helpless and they're harried and harassed. And I think what God's asking us to do going into this year, our vision forward, is continue to use every resource we have for those that are confused and helpless and need help. But when he saw, that literally means when he looked upon, when he experienced, when he perceived, discerned, he was aware of something. And if anybody was more like this, I don't know who it could be, but in Jesus' church, it's easy to get nearsighted. It's really interesting. In all the medical profession, most everything, you're defined by what you're not good at or you don't have. But when it comes to your vision, when you say you're nearsighted, it's defining what you're good at. That means you can see near. We see what's right in front of us. I can see here, but we have problems looking out. And Jesus was not only concerned with his followers, but he was concerned with those who were harried and helpless and harassed. Yeah. And so we have to be careful that we don't just bypass other people and people in their real state of where they are. And we have to ask Jesus, if we lack compassion, we have to ask Jesus, once again, burn your compassion into me. Why? Because I believe that Jesus only sees two types of people. And I'm going to use the words he used. There's lost and found, dead and alive, hellbound, heavenbound. And if once you believe that, and if we really believe that heaven and hell are real places, that is a game changer in how we see and what we do. I know what some of you are thinking. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not that person. I'm not outgoing. We got you covered. It's going to be okay. Yeah. Because we're not asking you to go be something that you're not, just that we would care for those people around us. Because I can't change the whole world, but we can do something about our part in the world, our piece of the world. I can do that much, but we will never care about that which we do not see. Well, I'm going to have Ashley come forward here, and I want to use an illustration here. It's just a matter of seeing a somebody. It's a matter of seeing somebody. So come all the way up here. Come all the way up here. Come on, let's give her a big hand. And Ashley's a part of our, she's our office administrator. She attends White Oaks. She's led group. Thanks so much for volunteering to help me out with our Vision Sunday here. So there's an interesting statistic that I came across. I was reading an article recently, and it stated that 62% of our population are eligible to give blood. I give blood regularly as soon as it's time, religiously over the years. It's just something that I do. But the surprising statistic that only 3% of that 62% actually do it. Well, why? There's a lot of reasons why. I don't like needles. I'm afraid. It's awkward. It takes time. I'm busy. Somebody else will do it. So here it is. Here's what I want to say to you. Most of us never really think about it because it's not on a radar. We don't have a person that needs blood. So what if I were to tell you, Ashley, and I'm not confessing anything negative over you, by the way. Okay. What if I were to tell you that Ashley, she needs a blood transfusion? It's doable, it will help her, practically, and the condition that she has is solvable, but you're going to have to go through your own awkwardness, your own maybe uncomfortable with maybe needles or presenting an invitation or something like that, but you could help her if you were to give blood. Now, this is Ashley, okay, office administrator, a great woman of God. Now, how many of you are willing, all over our campuses right now, if you're willing to give blood to help Ashley, raise your hand right now. Raise your hand right now. There we go. Look, there's people all over. You can't even see all the people in all the campuses. They're raising their hand right now. Okay. Now, how many of y'all that made your day? It did make your day. It touched your heart. Let's give Ashley a great big hand. Very good. Thank you for helping her. See, this is what happens. We fail to see people. We fail to see people in our lives with something that we could practically do. That's right, practically do. You have the ability, and we all have enough time, but we just have to put it into our schedule. What would it look like if we approach this next month, going into March, leading up to Easter, as if we all had one mission, and that's to give the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the cleansing blood of Jesus and help as many people as possible get the blood of Jesus, a real transfusion in their lives. How many of y'all think that would be a good idea right there? Yeah. But we have to be willing to be moved by compassion. Something happened inside of you when you saw Ashley here. That's right. That's what compassion is. It's deeply moving. Now, this is the kind of people in our world right now. They're confused and harassed. Do you know what that word really means? It means skinned alive. It means skin pelt. There are people in your world and in my world, they're being skinned alive by this world right now with worry, stress, pain, financial problems, relationship issues, job problems. They're getting skinned alive, and we have the ability to affect their lives. They're helpless. They're being thrown about here. So what are we going to get better at this year? What's 2024 going to be better at? We're going to get better at teaching in church, but not only that, with our connection groups and with our small groups and our growth track, we're going to get better at training in the Word of God, not just teaching. That means training people to take the Word of God and apply it to their everyday, ordinary lives. And also get better at preaching and declaring the kingdom of God in our world. Whatever part of the world you're in, that's where Jesus wants to go. Wherever you work, wherever you go to school, Jesus wants to go there with you. That's where he wants you to be here. Then also healing. That's where we become fully devoted followers. We can deal with our past and get free to live in our future. We can get free to be who God's created us to be. Church, we're going to continue to get better at that. So when we give financially, when we give to missions, when we do all these things, it has the very core of what we see in Matthew chapter 9 right here. That's why all across Bridge City Church, we are asking all of you to join our leadership. And that's right, fill out these invest and invite cards. That's right. What we want to do is we are asking everybody to list people in your life, people that you see on a regular basis, write down their names, pray for them every day, and then simply invite them to come with you on Easter Sunday to meet Jesus in a really real way. We believe that if we will just all join our hearts together, pray, and see the people around us with compassion, that's right, the harried and harassed, and we're willing to go through that awkwardness, just like the awkwardness of needles, willing to go through that give up my busyness and just simply invite people, we believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's what Easter is all about. Come on, it's all about people far from God. It's about making heaven bigger and hell smaller. Will you join us? Will you be a part here? Because that's what we want to get better at, not only one day a year, but then afterwards, you're going to hear from your campus pastor in a few minutes, and we're going to hear how we together can get these instructions. We're going to pray. Every time that we serve in church, we are an answer to Jesus' prayer. Why do I say that? Why? Because he said, pray the Lord of the harvest in Matthew 9. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. And at Bridge City Church, everybody who serves, everybody who's a part is a part of harvesting. Harvest is all about more people going to heaven and then becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus. So I want to be an answer to Jesus' prayer. How about you? That's what I want to be. And that's what we can be when we serve. Every time we're giving financially, we're a part of harvest work and restoring lives. So here it is. I'm going to conclude here. Matthew 10, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. That's right, the exact same thing Jesus was doing a few verses earlier, he now gives to us. He says, I'm giving you authority now to go into your world and expand. He's giving us authority to go into our world so that more people can get healed. That's the same word that Jesus used of what he was doing, he gives to us. The same thing Jesus was doing, he wants us to be doing. That's right. And I believe in a church that's expanding. I believe in a church that's growing. I believe in more and more people that can be trained and equipped. But how are we going to do this? In verse 5 of Matthew 10, here's a key. Here it is. Jesus sent out the 12 apostles with these instructions. In just a few moments, you're going to be hearing about the instructions that each campus pastor has for you and your location. You've heard the big instructions from me, but this is what we're going to continue to do. This is why we sacrifice and give. But let me tell you, in 2024, we're going to get better at these things. In lost people crossing the bridge, people who are hell-bound becoming heaven-bound, crossing the bridge. Saved people pastored, because that's what Jesus said they needed, was a shepherd. Pastored people trained, and trained people mobilized. How many of y'all believe that is a vision and a mission worth investing in, worth becoming a part of, and worth serving? All over, let's give God a great big hand. I just want to thank you so very, very much for spending this time with me. Your campus pastor is going to come forward now and share with you specific instructions for your location.
Let's give God a big hand for what he's done and what he's continuing to do at Bridge City Church. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I'm Pastor Nick. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you greatly. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. There you go. My wonderful bride gets one. And I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all, worshiping God and praising his name. Pastor Rick mentioned our annual report. How many of you got one in the mail this week? Raise your hand. How many of you didn't get one in the mail this week? All right, keep your hand up. Our wonderful ushers will be around to give you one. Quick little update, though. If you didn't get one in the mail, it may be because it got lost in the mail and it's in the mail, or it's because every single week we talk about these wonderful things called welcome guides, and inside the welcome guide, there is a connection card, and maybe you've never filled one out before, or maybe you moved and you didn't fill out a new one. So, if you're new here with us today, you can fill out your first ever connection card, and we have a wonderful Bridge City tumbler for you to get, or you can fill out a connection card because you never did. And we'll even give you a Bridge City tumbler anyways. Or if you moved and we don't have your updated address, go ahead and fill out a connection card and update your information, because that's a smart thing to do. And we'll give you a Bridge City tumbler. And if you lost your Bridge City tumbler and you just want to say you want to fill out a connection card, go ahead over. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously, if you didn't get one in the mail, I know that some people didn't get one yet. It's in the mail. If you have never filled out a connection card, make sure you do that so that you receive it. Now, as you're all looking through your Bridge City annual report, I want you to first focus on the front page. All these wonderful individuals are all part of the White Oak campus. Now, I want you to know that I am going to be the first one to have a completely autographed copy of the White Oak, what looks to be the new hottest boy band out. So, TJ Hall, if you would please make your way up here. He's one of our wonderful Bridge City student leaders. Come on, TJ. I need TJ looks to be like the Justin Timberlake of the group. You can see the hair. I just need an autograph. You can make it out to your favorite campus pastor. I got you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, TJ. Cheddar, if you would please give me the honor. One of our wonderful elder apprentices, Cheddar, is this is Nick, by the way. That's his real name, and Cheddar is not his real last name. What is your real last name?
Hodacek.
Try to pronounce that. There is a J in the middle, which doesn't make sense, but he is an elder apprentice and our amazing drummer. His wonderful wife, Jess, is floating around with their daughter, Hope, but if you could please do me the honor. Make it out to whoever. TJ didn't do that. That was Samuel. You could talk to him about that. He marked up your nose. With love. We'll be auctioning this off. Thank you so much for everything you do, but more for who you are. I will let you know that I asked Jordan, our amazing, amazing worship leader, one of them, and he's also the man responsible for our online worship experience week in and week out, which thank you, Jordan, for making that happen so that people outside of this place can experience the Word of God and experience the church. The church goes farther than these walls, and Jordan, that's because of your heart and your vision for that. I asked Jordan to make it out to your favorite campus pastor, and he wrote to your favorite pastor and then signed it. So I think that I'm going to have to give this to Pastor Rick. I don't know. But thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it. He was so nervous up here signing his first autograph. But listen, I want to give you guys some vision. If you don't know anything about me, you are going to learn a little bit about me today. One of the things that I love is I love words. I love simple words. And one of my favorite words is perspective. I think it's all about perspective. It's all about how you see things. And I believe that that is my life's message, that I'm going to be a perspective changer. I'm going to help people see things differently than how they've seen things. And God gave me that years ago because I always prayed that I want a life's message. All these guys have a life's message, and I didn't have one. And I wasn't jealous, but I was like, I want one. Kind of like Ace here. Ace always wanted a nickname. She never had a nickname. We gave her one, and now most of you don't even know her real name. Okay? That's Ace. She has a real name, but you don't even need to know it. Okay? But the word that I received for this message, we're going to get to it. But I got to give you some backstory first. And the backstory is the White Oak campus did not always exist here. Some of you may think that it always did. First, it existed in a whole bunch of prayer. And a vision that the White Oak campus was going to be launched. But then, it existed in a different place. How many of you knew that? Anyone? Okay. A lot of you did. Some of you. How many of you have ever ate at Plaza Azteca? Okay. That's the original home of the White Oak campus. It wasn't Plaza Azteca then. It was actually Christina's Restaurant. They had amazing French onion soup, by the way. But the campus, we found this building and we needed to renovate it. But we needed a place to meet. And on March 12th, 2012, almost 12 years to the date, we met at Christina's Restaurant for the first time. 127 people gathered on Easter Sunday, March 12th, 2012. Today, 9 days shy of our 12-year anniversary. And then we settled in the next Sunday with 99 people. And I remember the message that day Halfway through, the count came in. Because numbers matter. And Pastor Tom said, go get one more so that we can be at 100. And somebody ran out and started evangelizing and went down to Giant Eagle to go share Jesus. But it started with us taking all the equipment across the parking lot and bringing all the equipment back week in and week out for 3 months. Because we believed that God had a vision for this place and a heart for it. And I believe that that vision and that heart has expanded so, so much. And the prayer launched from a few verses out of Isaiah, chapter 54, verses 2 through 4. And for well over a year before the White Oak campus launched, we prayed these verses. Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. Fear not, you will no longer live in shame. Don't be afraid. There's no more disgrace for you. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth. That same prayer and those same verses continue to ring true today. Because the word that I believe God gave to me for 2024 is expansion. And then God reminded me of these verses that we prayed 13 years ago. Expand your tent pegs. Expand. We prayed for all of you. Because a majority of you weren't here. I didn't live across the street from Harlan yet. I didn't even know Harlan existed. But God did. I had no idea that one day I'd be standing on stage with TJ Hall getting his autograph. But God did. Cheddar, I'm honored to serve the kingdom with you. And to watch your family grow. And to watch you grow closer to God. And to watch you draw others closer to God. I didn't even know you existed 13 years ago. But 67 excited people prayed for you. And now we all get to be a part of the expansion that God is leading us into in 2024 and so on. So what is God expanding? I really believe that God is expanding the relationships within our house. That God's expanding the discipleship within our house. He's expanding us financially. He's expanding us and our impact within the community. And as he gave me those four words and expanded, and gave me some bullet points under expansion, I looked at those four words and realized that they are the G's. Gather, grow, give, and go. And I just smiled. Because those four words changed my life 18 plus years ago. I was gathered into the family of God. I began to grow. I began to give of my time, my talent, my tithe. And I got sent out into my world. Expansion happened. And I believe that God is also going to expand our house. Because as you grow, other things need to grow. Everybody, every single time that happens, like, what's the pastor going to do? There's a crying baby. Perfect segue. I actually have that child on retainer. When your family's growing, kids seem to take over. That's the best sound that you could ever have in church. Okay, because that means there's life. When we prayed for this building, when we received this building, we believed that this building would be too small. And God has continued to make that true over and over and over again. How do I know that? Because every inch of this building almost is dedicated to children. And it wasn't always that way. That room used to be a meeting room. We used to have closets. We have zero storage any longer. That room is a children's room. That room is a children's room. The third floor didn't exist. We had to believe for that and sign a lease for 2,300 more square feet. We had to expand. That wasn't in the plan. We didn't have that in the plan, but God knew. And in 2 weeks, we as the church were able to raise $20,000 to renovate that space for children. Where there's a vision, there's a way. So what does expansion look like? You heard Pastor Rick mention that we are believing for property, a building, land. I want to let you all know that this week we there's some property that has a building on it that we're very interested in. And we extended a letter to the building owners to let them know that we're interested. It wasn't an offer. It was just a letter of intent. If I could sum it up this way, we are courting a property. And we're waiting to have a meeting with the property's parents. Okay? And listen, this has been an on-again, off-again relationship. We've been interested in this relationship since elementary school. And this prayer takes me all the way back to verse 4 of Isaiah 54. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth. This property, I grew up three doors down from it. I wept on the steps of said property. I felt shame, embarrassment, depression, anxiety on the steps of said property when I was a youth. And I think it's a cool confirmation from God when his word says, you'll no longer remember the shame of your youth. And expansion's coming. We prayed it 13 years ago, and almost 9 days, exactly 9 days before our 12-year anniversary, we're sharing vision for what could be, and we're believing for what should be. Expansion is coming to the house of the Lord, not just for the White Oak campus, but for Bridge City Church. Because I want you to hear my heart. I am not all about the White Oak campus. I'm about what God's doing at Bridge City Church because I was here when it was just Bridge City Church. There was only one location, North Braddock. And we launched Murraysville. And then we launched White Oak. And then we launched our East Liberty campus and welcomed Brighton Heights home, which was Hosanna Church We launched them out in the early 90s before campuses existed. We didn't know what that meant. It was a sister church. And then our older sister came back home as a campus. Listen, we are one church in four locations. It's not about different campuses. It's about one church. And we are growing and we are expanding. And we are excited about what God is doing. And I'm excited that we all get to be a part of it and what God is leading us into. This has been and will always be my prayer, and I will never stop praying this and these verses. I remember the first time I shared it. It was at an Easter egg hunt at Angora Gardens. We were expecting over 500 children to be in attendance. And we handed out T-shirts. Nate Armstrong's least favorite T-shirt of all time. They were gray with bright green lettering. He couldn't wait for these T-shirts to get ruined in the laundry. Some of them are still in existence. Does anybody still have one? You have one still? They're still around, Nate. We were still Word and Worship Church at the time. I think 700 people showed up that day. But the prayer was, because there was a lot of pushback about an Easter egg hunt, it's not about eggs or bunnies. I'll get more to that later. But the verses are 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. And it says, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered their world. I tried to experience things from their point of view to become, and I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did this all because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. And listen, I'm looking at a room full of people that don't look like they just want to talk about it. They want to be in on it. They want to be a part of what God's doing. And we are on the cusp of getting to see God do something really exciting. Just like he did 12 years ago when we had our first meeting and we got to see our children's ministry meet in a bar. We had to walk around and make sure all the stuff was down before we welcomed the kids in. We were in on it. Just talk about it. Now we're here. Two worship experiences. Soon to be three on Easter Sunday. You get to be in on it. You get to invite people to our extravaganza coming up on March 23rd here at the White Oak campus, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Brunch with the Easter Bunny. Listen, it's not about a bunny. It's not about eggs. It's about inviting people to an event that they feel comfortable with and hopes that they hear about Jesus and they get to hear about what Easter is really about. Nobody's going to be worshiping a bunny or eggs, but we hope that they trip into the arms of Jesus. And then you get to invite people to Good Friday at our North Braddock campus, 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. We get to hear a message from Pastor Rick, and we get to walk through an experience that our creative team is putting together, which is an event that helps us to understand what Jesus went through on the cross for us. And then Easter Sunday, 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. here at the White Oak campus. Why is this such a time for us to be in on it? Because we live in a community. We live in a culture where people are open to be invited on Easter. Why? Because there's a generation of people right now that their family took them to church on Easter. That generation is dying off, not physically, all of them, but the churches that they took them to are dying off. They're closing. Their doors are shutting. Invest in their lives and invite them.